The Burrows of Berea is a conversational podcast.
We study the Bible and we talk about it.
Not all of us are of the same faith.
And one of us doesn't have a faith.
But we still love one another, and we're going to continue to talk about these things.
The things we believe in and the things we believe about what we read in the Bible. Not all of these are necessarily true. Some of it is opinion and speculation. Thank you for
listening and speculating with us.
There you go. That was good. Yes.
You are listening to the Burrows of Berea.
Well, welcome back to the Burrows of Berea. I'm Rick Welch, and to my left is Billy Eye Candy Kimsey.
I have nothing.
Like a dirty old gummy bear under your couch.
Gross.
Or a dirty old toenail.
That's like what he said in the
giant,
last one.
Giant gummy bear. Giant yummy gummy bear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like a York peppermint patty. Did you ever do York peppermint patty?
I think so. Feel the sensation.
Feel the sensation.
Yeah. Yeah. That would have been pretty easy. He would have hit that early.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Cherry.
Rick.
Cherry the Annihilator Lewis.
That's me.
Yes. No song for you.
Good.
Sarita the Edge Edgerton.
Hey, y'all.
Behind the Glass. Rocket Man Andy Bishop. Straight out of Compton, Ralph Hicks.
Represent.
And Big Daddy Carter.
Oh, yeah.
That felt like stereo. Anyway, we got Zach Davis back in the studio with us. Welcome here, Zach.
Thank you, everyone.
Are you exhausted, man?
I am not. I'm just getting warmed up.
Because you've been up since 6 a.m. driving all the way across the United States.
How long is that drive?
Eight and a half.
Eight and a half?
So you drove 8.5 hours here. Then he ate some pancakes, and then he came in the studio. It was that quick.
I'm ready to roll on these pancakes, though.
So it's shorter to drive to where you live than it is to drive from here to Clearwater, Florida.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. So are you going to go to the conference? I've already signed up for the conference out that Mark Tree's putting on out there.
What's the date?
It's August. You would think that the pastor would know, but I don't think he does. Calling him on it.
Hang on just a second.
I've already bought the tickets.
I'm not going to ask any more questions.
Yeah, because he's not going to answer them.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, to be honest.
He'll just be like, I'm studying about it.
Oh.
Da, da, da.
Thank you, Andy.
He's never coming back again.
We call that
guys.
Bustin' Baptist.
Appreciate it.
Bustin'.
Thank you very much. The conference, I have no idea when that conference is, and we're putting it on. So,
yeah. It's in August, guys.
It's August something.
Mm-hmm.
Like the beginning
like
of August.
Like the 23rd or something?
No, it's the end. Hang on. I'm looking for
August 23rd.
I got so many
is
things going on.
Is it hot in August in Arkansas?
You don't have to explain
it is. Really, really hot.
I August, hope so.
All right, here you go. Ready?
Especially
it's
after
August
the rain.
August 23rd and 24th.
See? I was right.
David Curtis is coming. Mike Sullivan's coming. Don Preston's coming. Gary DeMar and Bob Cruikshank.
That'll be worth going to.
Oh, I think I need to go to that.
Where do you sign up at?
You can go to our link on our Facebook page, or you can also go to our current webpage, which should be ArkansasEschatologyConference.com. So check those things out. You can go to my YouTube page or Travis Drum's YouTube page, and there will be links there.
Also, guys, for those of you who are listening to this podcast, I will put a link to it in the paragraph. So you just click on our show, and there will be a paragraph link to get you there so that you can go get your tickets too. So get your tickets, get your flights, get your hotels early. You can save big time if you try to get it now.
Travis is doing a lot of the legwork on the conference. So
okay.
That's kind of my excuse is I teach three times a week. So my head's not really.
That's a great excuse.
It's a very good excuse.
Yeah.
At least you're productive.
And if you guys don't know, Maybe. Travis Drum, do you know who Travis Drum is?
Not right offhand.
All never right. heard of him.
So check this out. Last year, because we didn't do it this year, we had our big Bible trivia extravaganza on Facebook. Travis was the grand prize winner.
Okay. All
right. That's who he is. Yeah. Oh, man.
I was looking for a picture of him, but I can't find it.
Yeah. And you can also see his channel, Travis Drum, on his YouTube channel.
Yeah. Go like and subscribe to him. He's good.
And Zach Davis' channel. Go like and subscribe. It's good content. I enjoy it. I really do like it.
Got some deep rabbit holes on this, watching his shows.
Yep.
In his studies.
The problem is we never come out of the rabbit holes. Like, there's never any answers on the other side. That's...
Beg to differ.
That's the fun part.
Beg to differ.
Well, speaking of never having answers, let's talk about... So here's what's going on. So you guys remember that we did the It's Time to Grow Up study. And we had a lot of traction.
I don't remember because it was so long ago.
Really, it has been a while, hasn't it?
It's been quite a while.
We had actually started it in January of 2023. It fizzled out right around March or April, I think. And basically what it was I was writing these notes. And really what I was after, number one, is that the Epistle to the Hebrews is my favorite book of the Bible. I love that book. It's a transition book. It's a powerful book. There's so many things in it that I, you know, we're studying on the Melchizedekian priesthood right now, like, you know, the order of Melchizedek and what that means. But there's so, it's such a rich book that it's difficult to just have a conversation about it. So I started writing notes and was kind of like scripting it so that we could get all the information out. And it was just incredibly boring. And then we started having issues in our families, like things started, you know, happening, and it really sidetracked us. But I didn't want to give up on the study. And I found out that Zach is teaching through the book of Hebrews right now, correct?
Yes, sir, I am.
And how far are you into it right now?
I'm still in chapter 1.
10 verses?
Yeah, I think I'm maybe through 12 now. I don't know if it's released yet, but I think I did. I think I got through 12 this week. So I should finish chapter 1 this week.
Is that like episode 7 or 8?
Yeah, I'm probably 7 or 8 deep by now.
With only 12 verses. Crazy. It's deep.
No, it should have been more than that, to be honest. But I'm not very deep, so.
Well, one thing, I'll preface it with this, okay? So when we started Hebrews, we did literally 4 prequels leading up to Hebrews because you've got to really know like what's happening. So me and Andy sat down and talked about God, the existence of God, not the existence of God, because the book starts off God, who at sundry times and in divers manners. Well, that's the KJV version, but anyway.
Various times in various ways.
Yeah, various times, various ways. You know, spoken to us by the prophets. I like sundry times.
We need to bring that word back.
We do. Yes.
It's a good word.
No, he's shaking his head no. But the biggest thing is that he's telling you that, you know, in various times and in various ways, he spoke to us by the prophets, but now he's speaking to us through the Son. He talks about his relationship to the angels, like where he is as far as order, and what he did in order to become a man and then become a servant to death, and then what all of that means according to the old covenant, and then how it transfers into the better substance, the better covenant, the better things. And it's an amazing book. And it's almost like every little verse is a treasure to me. I love that book. So what we've decided to do is that we're going to listen to Zach's teaching. And then we're going to talk about it, kind of like do our intro and outro. So we'll intro, talk about it, let him know that this is what he's going to be studying. And at the end, we'll talk about what we learn from it. So we're all going to be, you know, kind of learning from you and then talking about it. So it could be, we could love your teaching or we could not.
Or I could not answer any of your questions.
Yeah. Yes. I'm studying.
I'm studying.
I'd like to have informed opinions.
Yeah. Oh, it's a mystery.
But what's going to be great about it is it's going to allow us to still do the things that we do, which is conversational podcasting.
Which is tell baldy jokes and get off track?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. But just to be conversational about it.
Hey, but we solve stuff in this room.
We absolutely have. All the time. Think about it. What else?
Well, y'all weren't here. We solved the Proverbs 31 woman.
I heard you solve that.
Yeah. And the Proverbs 31 man.
Were you
man.
Here when we solved racism?
Yep. Was here for that.
See? We've solved a lot of things in here. So Infinity. What I'd like to hear from you, Mr. Davis, Pastor Davis, is tell me about the opinion of the book of Hebrews. Tell me what you think in regard to its teaching. And give me some of the highlights, the things that you're looking forward to in this teaching. Because you've obviously studied it pretty thoroughly, right?
Yeah. I like to think so. I mean, I don't know that I can give you every definitive answer. There were some things I'd still say I'm studying on, but
if you ever stop saying that, then trust me, we all get it, right? I'm glad that you say that.
I made somebody mad at me.
Yeah, she was kidding. No, actually, she just shook her head. No, she wants to kill you.
Yes.
She is the annihilator.
True. It is true.
She's an annihilationist.
So I,
Terry, I'll hold him. You kill him.
She's an annihilationist. I love it. That was great.
You're welcome.
Are you tired of compromising when it comes to protecting your valuable firearms? Then let us tell you about Carolina Cases, your ultimate destination for hard plastic, impact-proof pistol cases. Carolina Cases are TSA approved and are crafted with high quality foam, ensuring maximum protection for your firearm during transport or storage. At Carolina Cases, they understand the importance of safeguarding your investments. Carolina Cases provide unparalleled durability, keeping your pistols safe from impact and damage. So hop on over to www.carolinacases.net to explore their wide range of pistol cases designed to meet your specific needs. Don't settle for less. With Carolina Cases, you can ensure your firearms are safely stored, preserve your peace of mind, and protect what matters most. Enter code Burrows at checkout to receive free shipping.
I think if people could understand that everything in the book of Hebrews, and no matter who you take the author to be, whether it's Pauline or whether it's somebody else, everything that's in the book of Hebrews is the same as what Paul's talking about in the rest of the epistles, especially. So I know I've already gone to Galatians. Just the whole idea of covenant transition from the old covenant to the new covenant, that's why it starts. God, who at various times and various ways spoke in times past to our fathers the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. And then it goes into the angelos and how he's greater than all this, and he fulfills this, and he's greater than this. It's all about the transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. And that transition is predicted everywhere in the Old Testament.
Would you say that like the first two chapters is like a heaven reorganization? An heavenly reorganization?
I don't have any problem with that. Because what you're going to get into in verses 10 and 12 is the idea of the old covenant or the old heavens and old earth, if you're not familiar with that language, being rolled up like a scroll or a garment and thrown aside. Same idea as Jesus saying you can't put new wine into old wineskins or the new garment into the old cloth. That idea is what just permeates the whole book. And that's what we're going to. We're folding up this old heavens and old earth to establish the new heavens and the new earth. And that's really the thrust of the New Testament. That's what the Old Testament predicted. That's the prophetic implication, is to get us to Mount Zion, to the kingdom of God in Hebrews chapter 12. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're going to wind up at. And it's going to end in Hebrews 13:14, where here, physical Jerusalem that then existed, we have no continuing city. We're literally making a shift from everything physical. Now everything spiritual is taken over. And that's the same thing that the book of Revelation is talking about. It's the same thing the Olivet Discourse is talking about. It's the same thing that Jesus all through the Gospels and Paul all through the New Testament, James, the book of James, I mean, all of it is talking about this same exact idea. But tethered to that transition from old covenant to new covenant comes salvation, comes redemption. It comes all of the Bible story and all of these things that have been just from different points in the rest of the text, they're all funneling to a head. And they're all coming in this new covenant kingdom that the Old Testament predicted.
Yeah, and it's really one of the things that I like about Hebrews. You know, whenever Jesus is in, when he's talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are asking him particular questions about who he is, and he wouldn't necessarily answer them straight out. You know, he said, it's what I've been saying all along. Like I was teaching in the temple and I was saying these things, but you weren't listening or you didn't hear. When you get into Hebrews, it's almost like it's explaining everything that the Pharisees have been asking. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's heavy priesthood talk. It seems like the writer of the Hebrews obviously was at least within the priesthood or a Pharisee or somebody that knew this covenant law like the back of his hand.
Could that be the hidden man that wrote that too?
No, absolutely not.
I think it's somebody like, I mean, I think that's why so many people think it's Pauline, because of all that background. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it just assumes a knowledge that you already to know.
I've heard people say Barnabas. We've even argued that in here, who wrote Hebrews, but it definitely sounds Paul. It really does. And I know that whenever they carried the letters around, that the letter of the Hebrews was actually being carried around with it. So I don't know. It's almost like a mercy thing for him. Like, know this, guys. Know this better covenant. Know it, you know. But there's an urgency in that letter too. He's explaining that in a very little while. You know, he's letting you know that this stuff is about to take place right now.
You think it's already happened?
Yes. I definitely think it's happened, but not in the letter. Okay. It hasn't happened in the letter. Would you agree?
Oh, that's new to me. I had never heard that idea.
I
bet. Was in our future.
You'll need to, you have to study that out a little bit.
Yeah, no, and it's So what you're going to find in the book of Hebrews is everything that's in it, like what Rick's talking about, is directly connected to everything else that is in the New Testament, which Paul said he taught nothing other than what was found in the law and the prophets in the Old Testament. So anything that's predicted in the Old Testament is about to come to pass in the New Testament, and literally it's about to happen because it's tethered to the Old Covenant.
Yes.
And its fulfillment. And that's what the book of Hebrews is about, because the Old Covenant has to be fulfilled to give way so that the things which are shaken, the Old Covenant, will give way to the things that cannot be shaken, Hebrews 12, the New Covenant.
And that's why like audience relevance matters so much to me, is because these people were truly suffering true persecution because of this belief. And there was a time whenever these Christians were under so much severe pressure that they were beginning to fall away. They were beginning to go back to Judaism in order to prevent things from happening to their families, for being killed or, you know, for being stripped of whatever it is that they have. So there's that urgency inside that letter, right, too. Like, don't give up.
Once I get a consensus on, and I've asked this already in my Sunday school class to folks, like, is everybody in agreement that the book of Hebrews is about the transition from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant? Well, every hand in the room goes up, yes, it's about the transition, Old Covenant to New. Have y'all ever met anybody that says that the book of Hebrews is not about the transition from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant?
Never.
All right, then why is the persecution that they're about to be set free from not the same as 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, where they're being persecuted, right, and it's predicted that it's about to happen? Mm-hmm. Why are all of those ideas in Hebrews 5 and leaving the elementary principles and these things that are about to go away, why is that not the same as the book of Galatians? Why is this garment that's about to be folded up not the same as what Jesus predicted in Matthew, which is echoed in James chapter 5, that it's moth-eaten and written, which is predicted by the prophets all over the place, Isaiah 51, that it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. So once
those same elementary principles that Peter talks about.
2 Peter 3, stoikeion. Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Then when the heavens and earth are blew up. That's why, right, are the heavens and earth that are blew up about to be not the same as 2 Peter chapter 3 as in the book of Hebrews? So if you just start there and you get an agreement on what Hebrews is about and you just spring it all over the rest of the New Testament, you've got to come to a consensus and say, this is talking about the exact same event.
The hard part is that the audience relevance, in my opinion, of most of the evangelical world has the audience in the wrong, has the wrong audience. They have the wrong one placed. They're applying it, but they're applying it to the wrong people. Plus, with the fact that we talked in our last podcast, you've heard, there's a part of natural history that's been erased out of existence that most people won't hear about or ever know. And it's, from my perspective, it's terrible to keep harping on one particular event. But like you pointed out earlier, everything funnels to that one moment. Whether you want to or not, it's a complete funnel that squishes everything into that moment, and you cannot get away with it ever.
I think part of the confusion for the American church is that we, number one, like you're talking about, audience relevance, we don't put ourselves in their mindset. We're reading this thing like a science book, and it's not a science book. I mean, they're far more poetic than we ever thought about being in our culture today. But they have Hebrew idioms and expressions that we don't have. So, like, if somebody stood up in my church and sang, and they sang really good, and I said, man, Carrie is a baller. She sings so good.
Yeah.
If I said that to a first century Jew, they would think, well, this guy's crazy. What's he talking about? She's a baller. She's not even, we don't even know what a ball is. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
she doesn't even know LeBron James.
Right. So, so when we read about the sun, moon, and stars falling, or heaven and earth passing away, or the skies receding and rolling up like a scroll, when you sat in church when you were growing up, I would venture to say that the majority of the time you were in the New Testament and they didn't read from the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. Well, if we spent 80 to 90% of our time in the New Testament, we don't have a basis for that language that's being used and even have a construct of how it was used. So when I get to the New Testament, I can't start thinking that Peter, Paul, James, Jesus, John are using the language different than the way it's already been used all throughout the book.
There was a popular time in America whenever they wanted to, they called it unhitch the New Testament from the Old Testament, which is insanity to me. It's like you can't do that. Like, you have to have all of the Old Testament to even begin to understand how they're interpreting it. They were living in the Old Covenant and they're interpreting it for you, this massive change. And that's what's so wonderful about Hebrews, is that he's showing you, like, does anybody understand what it means that Christ is in the order of Melchizedek? Do you know what that means, Billy?
No.
How about you, Cherry? What does it mean that Christ is in the order of Melchizedek?
My assumption would be like in the lineage.
Okay.
Or like, you know what I'm saying?
How about you, Sarita?
Oh, Melchizedek was a priest, a high priest, and so Jesus is our high priest.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Ralph?
I just call him Rabbi.
Melchizedek?
No, if you're comparing Jesus to the line of Melchizedek and making him,
I'm just
a rabbi.
Saying, what is the order of Melchizedek?
Yeah, I don't know.
Rick?
Oh yeah,
go ahead.
Melchizedek was a special priest that was, in many cases, can believe to be a precarnate of Christ Himself. In order for Christ to be a priest today, after the old covenant, is that he would still have to be underneath the Levitical priest line. And he cannot be connected to that anymore because that time was canceled, deleted, erased. So in order for him to be a priest, he had to be connected to something that was not connected to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Melchizedek was non-connected to Israel because he existed, predated him, just like Abraham was the father of all people because he predated Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He predated circumcision. He predated all the things that Israel was trying to connect themselves to in Abraham and also separate themselves from the Gentiles. Melchizedek was not connected to any of that.
Right. And Melchizedek was the king of Salem. Okay, that was his title. And he was a king and he was the high priest. And Abraham brought the tenth of the spoils from the war to him. And Melchizedek brought bread and wine to Abraham, right? And this moment is so important because he was obviously running a priesthood prior to Aaron. And this new covenant for the Israelites, is whenever Moses gets the law from God when he's on Sinai. And then after that, God tells him Aaron is going to be the priest, and then his sons will be the sun priest, and then they will, from then on, you have the Levites, right? That's not Leviticus, but Levites. So what the New Testament epistle of the Hebrews is saying is that Jesus is not of the Aaronic priesthood. He's of the order of Melchizedek, which predates it. So that's unique. You don't hear that anywhere else out of any other New Testament writing, right? The only time Melchizedek is mentioned is in Genesis and in Psalms and then in Hebrews. Yeah. So it's very bizarre. I remember the first time I read it, I was like, what does that mean? But he's telling you that something is ending. Something is ending. It's consistent. And those people in their time understood. At least they understood what he meant. They may not have agreed with it, but they understood. But the believers knew that Christ was unique. It was spoken to by the prophets in the past. But Christ is the one that was speaking most recently, and he was telling us of what was to come. And he was the arbiter of it.
Which Christ was appointed to the lineage of Melchizedek.
Mm-hmm.
Was appointed, was placed into that. It wasn't a birth lineage. He was appointed by God.
That's just one point.
I think yes. It would have been important for the Jews too, because all they ever knew was the separation of the office of king and priest, especially like in Isaiah 6, when it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Well, Uzziah died because he was the king and went in and acted as a priest, and God killed him. Well, Saul did the same thing, and that's what got him in trouble,
right?
I think in 1 Samuel 15. So Psalm 110 brings them together. It says, when he was talking about him putting all of his enemies underneath his feet, there's your kingship. And then when you get to Psalm 110:4, it says you're a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what keeps getting quoted in the book of Hebrews and why he's pointing it out. Another thing I was thinking of, remember the story of Jethro, Moses' father-in-law in the Old Testament?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I made the comparison Wednesday night that Jethro was to Moses what Melchizedek was to Abraham, what Jesus was to the new covenant. Because Jethro is a priest that predated mm-hmm. Israel's lineage, and he comes and gives order, and Moses submits right. and listens to him. It's literally the exact same idea as Melchizedek.
Mm-hmm.
So I made the point that Jesus was the greater Jethro.
Jethro is a Gentile.
Right. They came and did it, and it's literally the same idea.
Yeah, I think Melchizedek was also a prophet because he blessed Abraham in that process. So I think he carried all three.
Yeah, it's good.
In titles. I mean, it wasn't ever stated, but in the process of what he was doing, was he carried all three titles, which would give Jesus the same significance of carrying all three at the same time.
And I think it's important that, and I love the fact that when you read in the Old Testament that Melchizedek brought bread and wine to Abraham. Who does that make you think of?
Jesus.
Christ, whenever he's doing what? And this is the new covenant that I'm bringing to you. My body, which I break, my blood, which I shed, right? So he's showing you this transfer of a covenant to covenant to covenant. And these are the covenant people with Abraham, all of his descendants, and through the seed, singular, all nations shall be blessed, which is amazing. It's an amazing point. So Hebrews is a wonderful book. That's why I really wanted to study it. That's why I hated to drop out of it. And so I'm looking forward to you, Zach, going through this and for us to have these discussions about what he's talking about. And so we can know what he's, you know, what he's going to be teaching on. We can read up and prepare ourselves for it and then have just a good conversation about it.
So will we have these ahead of time to watch?
He's already at point number 7. So we haven't even released, you know, we're just introducing Zach to this. He's taking over the study. He's going to keep doing what he's doing, but he's just allowing us to use his teaching in ours so that we can talk about it, which is really cool.
I love that he said the thing about the idioms earlier, because I'm really blowing up my study of John Bible study that I'm doing on Thursday mornings at a church in my town. And today we were talking about something, and I said, you're interpreting that wrong. That's an idiom. And I was like, suppose 500 years from now, somebody found my journal, and I had written, bless her heart. And y'all know from Arkansas what that means, right? I'm like, they might not know.
Yeah, somebody's or
they
in might, trouble.
Or they might be a Yankee, and they don't know that bless her heart is not an actual blessing.
It's, right.
So I can say something bad about her either beforehand or after.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a face only a, you know.
Mother would love.
The mother would love. Bless her heart. I mean.
Got a face for radio.
So yeah, that's what Ralph's that mom this, told him. Yeah.
I said that this morning, and they looked at me, and they were like, I had spoken a foreign language, so I'm blowing up my John Bible study, and I'm not even a preterist, so I don't know what would happen.
So, Zach, whenever you go into the very beginning of your study, so kind of like give us an idea of the intro, because after this episode, we're going to release the first one. So just kind of tell us what your thoughts were. Did you do an introduction into it, or did you just jump right in?
I might have did one or two lessons over verses 1 and 2. I more or less jumped right in, I think. That doesn't mean that I won't chase rabbits somewhere in it. But I definitely started in 1 talking about just the difference in speaking to Christ. I know at some point I go to Genesis chapter 49 in that. I think Genesis 49 is a real big deal, especially when the kids are on – Jacob's on his deathbed and the kids come to him, and that gives you the part about the scepter departing from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. So I know that I went there and started with that.
Doesn't it say the scepter shall not depart from Judah?
Yeah, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him will be the obedience of the people. And yes. I know in my notes, I know Isaiah 9's in there, the government will be up on his shoulders, this stuff, and how Hebrews 1's talking about the same transition is that I don't really remember how I broke it up at the very beginning. It's been 2 months.
Yeah, that's fine.
I know that I went into a pretty good detail about the prophets. I know I went into Peter in 1 Peter, he starts talking about in chapter 1 about how they were longing to look for and see these things, but they didn't know. So Peter literally says that the prophets were looking ahead, but their knowledge, it wasn't where it could be. And Daniel predicts that knowledge would increase, and that knowledge is not, you know, us figuring out how to go to space, whether or not that's real or not, but the knowledge is the progressive knowledge of the plan of God, and how Hebrews is ultimately pointing to the fact that Jesus Christ is the ultimate knowledge of the revelation of the plan of God. So that's really where I started and went to 1 Peter and how he was talking about how the prophets longed for it, but they were now seeing it.
Mm-hmm. Coming from the futurist background that I always had, it's interesting because I look at that transition book and I don't really understand the way that they would have understood in their time what this old covenant was, because we don't live according to that old covenant anymore. So obviously something transitioned, but there is this culmination in this, something major happened. And if we're looking for it in the future, then we're sort of stuck in this pattern. You know what I mean? Like we don't really know where we are in the transition. And I think that's why we're all so split up, because all of us are sort of pulling different verses out of different hats. And so we don't know where we land. But I think that one thing that we can all agree on is that we're not the intended audience of that book. We can't be.
If I would have understood at 10 years old the idea of the second Exodus, that in order for the first covenant to be established, the old covenant, it took 40 years. Because you don't have a full establishment of that old covenant at Sinai. It's given, but it's in the process. And mm-hmm. it's not fully consummated until the end of that 40-year period. Mm-hmm. Well, the same is true for the new covenant, that Christ fulfills, he fulfills Passover, he fulfills unleavened bread, first fruits, Pentecost, but you've got a transition period of 40 years from AD 30 to 70. When he finally fulfills it all is when that old covenant passes away and that new covenant stays in glory. Mm-hmm. And I think Israel had an example of that every year, because they would have, like in mid-March to April, they would have Passover and then unleavened bread and then first fruits 3 days later. 50 days after that, they'd have Pentecost. But then they would have a four-month dry season. And that four-month dry season is the same symbol as the 40-year establishment that they would rehearse literally every year. Then the fall, you pick up the final seven feasts, trumpets, Day of Atonement, and tabernacles. And that shows you the whole kit and caboodle. You can see every bit of that in the first Exodus and every bit of that in the second Exodus. So if we would understand the transition period that you keep talking about as the second Exodus or the 40 years to establish the new covenant, people would be so much further along in their Bible understanding.
Yeah, that is really a good point. It's Leviticus 23, right, is where the feasts are, I think.
Yeah, there. Exodus 10 to 12, that range. Of the early ones.
Yeah, it really does. It sets the stage. I mean, they're constantly practicing it over and over and over. We don't. We don't do those feasts. We don't understand the purpose of those feasts. We don't see how it works around the calendar. We don't see how it works around the specific harvests and the way the offerings work. So that it wasn't intended. That book was not intended for us. In fact, we've had to study so hard just to understand what it meant to them. Do you know what I mean? Like we don't know what it's like.
I thought the fine print of Hebrews down at the bottom says Hebrew for the Americas.
Here's a little trivia question for you guys. Let's see who can get it. Can anybody name a feast in the New Testament that did not exist in the Old Covenant that they actually do in the New Testament? Come on, Andy. Where you at, pal?
The Feast of Unleavened Bread.
No, that's the Passover.
That's the only one I got.
I'm glad you got it. That's cool.
The Feast of Golden Corral. No.
That's definitely not in the Old Testament, actually. He's right.
Does anybody know the feast that happened? It wasn't a part of the Old Covenant, but they practiced it in the New Testament. Even Jesus practiced it. Nobody? You'll only find it in the Gospel of John. The Feast of Dedication, which is the Festival of Light, Hanukkah. And the reason why is because it didn't get established until 165 BC when the Maccabees defeated the Greek, what was his name? Antiochus Epiphanes, threw him out of there. And then they had the 8 days of oil. That was a feast that they actually celebrate. Jesus does it in Jerusalem. I think it says he walked in Solomon's colonnade among the five pillars during that. I think it was called the Feast of Dedication.
I still love that they found like really good oil and then celebrated it for the next 2,000 years. Yeah. They were like, man, this oil
that
is real
some
efficient.
Good oil. Yeah.
So I don't know if you know the story of that, Andy, but they only had enough oil to burn for one day.
Yeah, yeah.
But it lasted for eight.
But eight that's great what I'm saying. Nights.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
To quote some Adam Sandler.
Those free 7 days of light. They've been throwing parties about it for 2,000 years.
Yeah, they have.
Adam Sandler made a good movie about it.
Yep. So, anyway, I'm looking forward to this study. I don't know if you want to keep the same title, but it's time to grow up.
Yeah, but you dropped out, so you didn't grow up.
I did. I actually know where I was going. I just didn't get to share it. What I began to understand was that for them, It was time for the Hebrews to realize what was truly happening and not to bow out because of the persecution. They were going through some serious persecution. I've never been drug out into the street and watched my kids, you know, burned alive or
that's happening in Nigeria right now.
Yeah, you had shared that with me. That's true. But I had never been through anything like that. And then to hear the hope that they were given. It was relevant to them. Do you know what I mean? And that's for them, they had to. What does he say in Hebrews about holding fast? It's like, help me, somebody. Holding fast and not
neglecting so great a salvation.
Yes, not neglecting so great a salvation. That's a very powerful verse.
Hope I don't butcher it.
No, I don't think
so. No, you'll do fine. I mean, that, you know, that 40-year period only takes an hour.
Oh my gosh.
40 minutes if you're lucky.
Yeah. No, he's doing some thousand years is a day math.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Do you know? Yeah, tell him.
I read the post.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. So I hope you guys enjoy this study. If you want to catch up where we were, you'll have to go back to It's Time to Grow Up. You'll see the prequels. I think even Pastor Mike Miano was on a couple of those with us early on. And then we went through, I think we got to around part 5 or part 6. If you guys want to listen to them, you can. But I would say if you do listen to them, then just kind of erase part 4, 5, and 6 and then go back, because just start over with Zach and follow him, and then we're going to be talking about that.
Sounds like you're talking about Star Wars.
Oh, yeah? That's right. We start with 4, 5, and 6, and go back to 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
And then go 7, 8, 9. And then...
And Rogue do One. Horrible.
Spin off.
Yes.
Are you tired of compromising when it comes to protecting your valuable firearms? Then let us tell you about Carolina Cases, your ultimate destination for hard plastic, impact-proof pistol cases. Carolina Cases are TSA approved and are crafted with high-quality foam, ensuring maximum protection for your firearms during transport or storage. At Carolina Cases, they understand the importance of safeguarding your investments. Carolina Cases provide unparalleled durability, keeping your pistol safe from impact and damage. So hop on over to www.carolinacases.net to explore their wide range of pistol cases designed to meet your specific needs. Don't settle for less. With Carolina Cases, you can ensure your firearms are safely stored, preserve your peace of mind, and protect what matters most. Enter code Burrows at checkout to receive free shipping.
So, Zach, tell us where people can find you.
YouTube.com, Zach Davis.
All right.
You can find us on Facebook, First Baptist Church of Mark Tree. I put all my stuff on YouTube, so...
And that's Z-A-C-H?
Z-A-C-H-D-A-V-I-S. Yes, thank you.
Not Z-A-C-K.
That's right. Only the cool kids are spelling it Z-A-C-H.
I have a few people that spell it Z-A-C that work at my shop.
They're just lazy.
Or Z-A-C-K. Yeah.
Just kidding. They couldn't afford the last letter.
Right.
I feel like if you're going to drop you might as well keep the K.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need that double consonant.
Yeah, I'd take that one up with my mom.
Ow! No, I
haven't said that in a while.
If you're not going to use the C-H is legit, because that makes it old school.
Well, you can make it Zatch.
Yeah. Zatch.
I've been called that.
Zatchery.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Zach. I appreciate you coming all the way out here. And I'm really thankful that you're going to let us, you know, use your study here. We're probably going to release it. We'll try to release one a week. It won't be on our standard Thursdays. It'll probably be on a Wednesday, I would say. And then we'll just try to stick with him. And then if he stops, then It's Time to Grow Up ends. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. Unless we get back to it.
Can you think you'll go 747 Hebrews videos?
No. I plan on speeding up at some point.
Okay.
Yeah.
At some point in time, I
would really like to keep it around 50.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's my goal. I think it's doable. Maybe.
Whenever I started the series, I reached out to Kim Burgess, and I said, "Hey, I'm getting ready to do a study on Hebrews. Do you have any advice?"
Yeah, do
Galatians. Don't do it.
Yeah, he didn't really say it that way, but he made it clear. He said that is in the way that I look at the scriptures, as far as a diamond, and every book is a facet. That is one of the most critical facets to it all. And it's a very, very important book. And so he sent me a book that N.T. Wright had wrote, and I started reading it. And I was like, that was a simple, sort of a simplistic, I guess, dumbed down version. It was good. I mean, I enjoyed it. But when I started getting into the book and really thinking about how much it was recalling the Old Testament. I mean, if you guys listen to our study, we read lots of Deuteronomy. We read lots of like hailing back to the prophets because he's calling on all these. It's like a gold mine of a lesson in Old Covenant, you know, law, Old Covenant culture. And so he was right. It was deep, very deep, and I was not prepared for what that was going to be like. So you got your work cut out for you, but it's awesome.
Somebody's got to take the plunge here, man.
Hey, man. Yeah.
Hey, give it to the younger crowd.
Yeah.
Well, I'll do like I did in Daniel. I'll teach it and then look back in about 7 years and see how bad I butchered it.
Yeah. You want to redo Jonah now? You had said that about Jonah.
That was bad. That was real bad. No, I don't.
Have I ever told you guys the story about when I was called to preach? Have I ever told you that story?
No, I don't believe I know it.
Is this a joke, lead-in?
No, it's not a joke. Okay. This actually happened, okay? So when I was called to preach, most people don't know that I was called to preach, right? Because I don't preach. But what happened was I was going to a small church called Christ Community Baptist Church. It is now called the Feedin' Seed in Fletcher. And the pastor of that church was Philip Trees, who said he's going to come and share one of these days. But
they sell lawn tractors there?
No. No.
And horses?
No, it used to be the old Fletcher Supply Company. Oh, okay. And it was an old building, and they repurposed that building.
Fertilizer?
And they sold everything there.
Manure?
They did a lot of Sangens.
Yeah. They have basically bluegrass on Fridays and Saturdays there. He's a wonderful pastor. But anyway, prior to that, we were in this little business park called the Buck Shoals Business Park. And I was leading the music. I was playing guitar and I was singing and, you know, with that church. And one morning, my little Nokia phone, that's how long ago this was, my Nokia phone rang.
It probably still works better than the iPhone.
Probably. And I picked it up and I answered it, and it was my pastor, Pastor Trees. He said, Rick, he said, my wife just went into labor. I need you to open the church and preach this morning and then close it up. And I was like, no problem. And I hung up and I looked at my wife and I was like, I just got called to preach. So the reason I thought of this was because what I did when I got there, I opened up the church, did the music. And then when I got up, I had no message. So I opened up. My wife was pregnant also at the same time. And my son was naming him Jonas. And in the New Testament, when they talk about the prophet Jonah, they have an S on it in the King James Version. So I named him Jonas, and then also Jonas Salk. Have you guys ever heard of Jonas Salk?
Penicillin.
The vaccine. So basically, I opened up Jonah, and I read all four chapters, and then I prayed, and then I shut the church down.
I mean, honestly, that's better than what probably a lot of people are doing.
So. I figured I was like, you know what? If God's word does not return void, then I'm not going to open my mouth. I'm not a preacher, so I just let that book speak. And then when I got done reading it, I was like, do I really want to call my son Jonas? Because Jonah was pissed the whole time, you know? He was obstinate the whole time. It's pretty amazing.
So you should have went and delivered the baby.
Probably. Anyway, Zach, thanks for driving all the way up from Arkansas, man.
Thanks so much for having me. Good to hang out with you guys.
Yeah, I'm glad that you did it. Thanks for letting us do this study with you. And I look forward to seeing you at the Berean Bible Church Conference in April. And then I'll see you again on August 23rd and 24th at the conference in Arkansas. I'm looking forward to that too. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Billy?
Yeah, sir.
Yeah, man. Still barefoot, I see. Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
My dogs are barking.
My dogs are barking. Jerry, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Rick.
Sarita, thanks for coming all the way up from Sparkle City.
I have a joke.
All right.
A post-Valentine's Day joke.
Ooh. Okay.
Because we're recording this the day after Valentine's Day. What's the difference between love and marriage?
Happiness. What's the difference between love and marriage? What?
Love is a dream. Marriage is an eye-opener.
Yeah. Did you guys see those little pink hearts that Reese's put out? Well, guess what?
I'm still eating my caramel ones.
Are you? So I want you to know that my beautiful wife, Holly, has sent you all a pink heart, and it's out in my car. Ooh. She got them for you guys yesterday, but today...
I love Reese's.
When we're recording is the day after... Valentine's Day. I'm not sure when this will release.
Babylon Bee had a whole bunch of you know how they do funny stuff.
Yes.
But they had the candy hearts. They made a whole thing of them, but it's all words from Song of Solomon. So like your neck, flock of goats, or whatever, you know, the terms in Song of Solomon that talks about
yes.
the woman. Yeah. Breast, equal, whatever he says. It was, you got to go read that one. It's hysterical.
Yeah, I will. And it's probably not going to work. Andy sent us the best.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
The best awesome. Video today. I wish I could send him to it. I
haven't had a chance to listen to it.
Oh, you've got to listen to it.
I've been running.
The only thing that would have made better was if it was like in a like a Sears photograph, and in the bottom right or something, it had a cat with those double image pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I mean,
verse. Yeah.
You're not going to know the reference, and I can't play the whole thing, but I just want to play the beginning because how he says it. Listen to this. This is awesome.
Hi there, you little chicken nuggets. These are some Bible verses that you can use if someone hurts their feelings, or if you just don't like them, or if they're a little fart sniffer. Let's get started.
I've seen that one.
If only you would shut up and let that be your wisdom. If you do so again, I will lay hands on you.
Yep.
You should mind your own business. You can leave. You son of a perverse and rebellious woman. Depart from me. You are cursed. Yes, I know. Be quiet. Your navel. It's perfectly formed, like a goblet. I know that's supposed to mean it's meant to be like a good thing in the context of that scripture, but I'm in it in the bad way.
Hey, shout that guy's name out just because we used his stuff.
It was Cool Carl, CoolCarll, and it was at Bible First Comebacks. Bible First Comebacks, Cool Carl. Go check him out.
He's got all of them cited if you watch the video.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the verses. That's actually great. Pretty crazy.
Anyway, Andy, thanks for being trapped here with us.
Thank you.
Ralph.
Represent.
Rick.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks so much. Hey, swing that mic over to Justin. Justin, thanks for being in the studio.
Hey, thanks again for having us.
Yeah, I appreciate you being his bodyguard. That was cool.
Glad Tennessee you guys... can be dangerous. He needs a bodyguard to get
he
through
sure
it.
Sure does.
Yeah, with them puny arms.
Yeah,
brought,
right.
I brought a Marine.
Yeah. Oh, is he?
And I brought a 40.
There you go. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, we hope you guys enjoy this new It's Time to Grow Up study with Zach Davis leading it, and we'll be talking about it. And we will talk to you guys again next time on the Burrows of Berea. Peace out.
Bye, y'all.
Later.
I forgot Rick.
Did I?
No. Yeah. No. No. No.
Bye, Rick Carter.
Later.
Hey, guys. This is Rick from the Burrows of Berea. Do you know how much blood, sweat, and tears it takes to make a podcast? None. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't cost a lot. And so if you guys don't mind, if anybody would like to give to help us with these episodes, it would be great. We'll put out even more content. And if you go to our Patreon page, just search for the Burrows of Berea, you'll get extra notes, extra episodes, and it's pretty much free. A dollar gets you a lot. Thanks, guys.